And if you are ashamed, shame on you. As we find that Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, and the verse is 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And we cannot be ashamed today. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to focus and understand the will of God and know that He is looking at everything that we do, everything that we say. He is there. There are times where we have put ourselves in places where we do not need to be. Situations, what does not involve us. And as we look at the scripture reference that was read, reference to the two that went to the temple to pray, those two individuals, as we read once again, were totally different. Their attitude about coming before God was totally different from the other, one from another. And as the parable is looked at, it says that the one that thought that he was so much better than the other, that in the very end, it was found to be that he wasn't better, nor was he equal, because he had exalted himself. And the Bible says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We started this morning looking at a question reference to a person that is not at the age of accountability. Is it okay for them to pray? Well, we're moving away from that, and we'll come back to that on next Sunday morning, Lord willing. And we're looking at some individuals on this evening, or some examples of individuals that have wasted their prayers, And we sometimes, as we approach God, we waste our prayers. When we come before Him after doing everything that we wanted to do, and we come before Him and we're requesting things, we're wasting our prayers if we forget to get our lives in order. For again, we looked at, or I mentioned, made reference to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 this morning, just a part of that, and we're going to read both verses on this evening. When we talk about a wasted prayer, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your iniquities, the sins in which you are participating in have separated you away from God. And that is not a place where we want to be. We do not want to be separated away from God, but we want to be right there with Him, and we want Him to be right there with us. And as we pray to Him, we're expecting an answer. We're expecting some results. You know, one of the things that bothers me about individuals that have set a timetable on praying to God. We're going to pray for 40 days, and we're looking for something miraculous to happen. They're not going to get it. So we pray to God and we ask God for things, just for forgiveness we ask God. Not praying for 40 days and asking for that forgiveness, but we pray to God and we ask Him to forgive us for our sins, and we go about our merry way. doing what is right. And that is exactly what God wants us to do. But when we come to Him and we think that we're better than the next man, we need to go back and we need to think again. Well, we go back to Luke chapter 18, looking at verse 9 and coming again down to the verse we find here is 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. He also told them this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Now, we find that happening in a lot of situations that someone finds themselves more righteous than the next man. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now he separated himself away from him. He don't want to be associated with him, so he separated himself. And then he began to talk about his righteousness. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, where do you find yourself? In praying to God, where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself as the Pharisee? One who has placed himself above everybody else? One who does not want to admit that he has committed sin? One that does not want to come to the reality that he is no better than the next man, but yet he comes before God, and as he comes before God, he lifts himself up. Do you find yourself in that category? Or do you find yourself as the tax collector who will not even lift his eyes unto the heaven? But he admitted to God that I am a sinner. Scriptures teach us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we realize that we are sinners before God, we will humble ourselves and we will come to Him and we will ask Him as the Bible teaches us, or we will confess unto Him as the Bible teaches to us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that we confess our faults unto Him as did the tax collector. I am a sinner. You know, I want you to realize that when we come to God and we tell Him that I am a sinner, that we sometimes need to address that sin, and we tell God, yes, I'm like what the Pharisee said I am. I am an extortioner. I am an adulterer. I'm that person, Lord. That is me. But I'm asking you to forgive me. Now your prayer, if it's sincere, will be heard. Your prayer will be answered, and the answer that you're going to get from God is that your sins are forgiven. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our faults unto Him, He is just to forgive us, not of some of the things that we've done, but all the things in which we've done, all unrighteousness. But the Pharisee did not feel that way, the parable tells us. And I want you to know today that we have people that are the same way. They don't think that they need to ask God to forgive them because they think that they're above sin. They think that the sins in which they are committing, they will not be held accountable to them on the day of judgment. We need to think again. And we need to address our sins unto God. And we don't look at God and tell God, you know, here I am, Lord, and you're supposed to forgive me. We don't have to tell God what He's supposed to do. He already knows. He tells us that He will forgive us if we will confess our faults unto Him. He will forgive us. We don't have to remind Him. He knows what His responsibility is to us. Do we understand our responsibility to Him? Wasted prayer when uttered. Let's look at some of these things from His Word. We look at here in the book of Proverbs chapter 28 in the verses 9. When we are looking for something that's a substitute. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination before God. You don't want to do what I say. He said, well, your prayer is an abomination before me. Don't come to me and ask me for anything when you do not want to do what you're supposed to do. But yet we don't feel like that from time to time. We think that God, you know, I'm your creation. You have to listen to me. You ever had a cat and you fed that cat and you fed that cat and that cat left home? And then when no one else would put any milk out for that cat, here come that cat back to the house scratching at your door because he thinks or she thinks that you owe them something. I had that happen. We had a cat to run away. Years later, someone coming knocking on my door and asking me, is this your cat? They put the cat down. The cat ran in the house and ran upstairs. I said, you better go get your cat. It don't belong to me anymore. But we need to understand that when we do not behave the way we're supposed to behave, God has every right to deny the request that we make before Him. Has every right. We find in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, listen to what it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Not the self-righteous, but a righteous man, one that does what God expects for him to do. He does those things. When he comes and prays before God, God is hearing his prayer. He's tending to his needs. So we don't go and we don't ask those that are unrighteous to pray for us. We don't go and knock on someone's door, as it was told about the woman coming and knocking on Sister Mitchell's door. If she didn't think that Sister Mitchell's prayers could be heard, she wouldn't have never asked her to pray for her. So that is something that we need to understand. That we confess our trespasses. Now, not saying that the woman had any sin, but we need to understand that when we are in a situation in our lives that we need to solicit the prayers of someone whose prayers are going to be heard. 1 Peter 3 in the verses 12. 1 Peter 3 in the verses 12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So whose prayer is the Lord listening to? Who is the Lord waiting on to call upon his name? Who is the Lord waiting on in order to answer their prayer? That individual that understands that, as we find the tax collector in the parable, the one that understands that he is a sinner. The one that understands that he needs God. The one that understands that when his life is right, that he can cry to God and ask God for some things and God will answer his prayer. But that individual, that Pharisee. See, a lot of us sometimes have a little Pharisee in us. We don't do what we're supposed to do. We don't behave the way we're supposed to. Oh yes, we can talk the talk, but we're afraid to walk the walk. We're teachers of what the Word says, but yet we're not doers of what the Word says. The Bible says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That individual that is not doing what God wants them to do, that is an evil person. So therefore, he is not right. So we need to get our lives in order. need to get our lives in order. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. That's a verse that we have committed to memory. And we tell people that. You know, you believe and you may be baptized if you believe. But look what it says. That individual that believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who believes not will be condemned. Will be condemned. So that man that does not believe, he has no reason to pray. Has no reason to pray because he don't believe that God is God. He does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He does not believe that God's word needs to be obeyed. Therefore, he does not pray the way he needs to pray. And in fact, again, his prayer is not being heard because he's separated away from God. A wasted prayer when uttered by sinners. When a sinner now, again, this morning about the one that is not at the age of accountability, praise to God, we don't consider that person a sinner. Again, that person is okay because he was not born with sin. But a sinner, one who is separated away from God, whether an alien sinner or an erring sinner, when you're separated away from God, your prayer is not being heard unless it is a prayer of repentance, confessing your sins. John chapter 9 and the verse is 31. John chapter 9 and the verse is 31. So we should not listen to people that tell individuals, if you want to be saved, pray to God. We don't tell them that. When we go back to Mark 16:16, if you want to be saved, you obey the gospel. You believe in God's word. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that repents and is baptized will be saved. Water still saves. John 9:31, the prayer by sinners. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. He hears him. Question. Has God heard your prayers lately? Has God heard your prayers lately? I believe from time to time we all could think about a moment when we prayed to God and we remember that, hey, wait, I have sin in my life. I need to go back to the Father and I need to ask Him to forgive me for my sins and those things in which I prayed for yesterday, I need to come back and pray for again today. Because again, what does the Bible say? But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, he hears Him. But going back up, now we know that God does not hear sinners. So we don't tell sinners to pray to God without getting their lives in order. Again, that alien sinner, we don't tell him to pray, period. We teach him what the word says and we give him that opportunity to come to Christ, to be baptized. We give him that opportunity. Then we, let's pray now. As Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, pray to God. Pray to God, not for salvation, but because of the sin in which you are committed. Pray to God. Get it right. He asked Peter to pray for him. And that's okay too. We ask someone to pray for us because we're in sin and we want that sin to be wiped away. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. What is God telling them here? He's telling them, as long as you are participating in sin, I will not hear your prayers. Don't come to me. Don't cry out to me. Get your life in order, and then I will tend to your needs. Are we afraid to tell people that today? that God is not hearing your prayers. You know, from time to time, you know, we have to tell people when they say, you know, get your, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Well, if your life is right, that's okay. But if your life is not right, I don't need you to pray for me. I need you to get your life in order. Live your life in a fashion that your prayers will be heard. And we need every Christian to focus on this. Keeping their lives in order for, as Brother Ollie said, talking about, you know, if you need some help from me, give me a call. I'll be glad to help you out. He didn't say I'm going to come over and do the work for you. He said I'd be glad to help you out. And so we need to help some people out. We need to keep our lives in order so that we, when they come to us, that we may be able to pray for them, that we may be able to pray together. I was reading something on Facebook the other day, and this individual was asking someone else to pray for them. He said, I'm going to call you in a minute, brother, and we'll pray together. That's great. You know, don't say, you know, I'm just going to pray for you and just leave it at that. He said, give me a call, and I'm going to call you, and we'll pray together. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep our lives in order so that when we are called upon to pray for someone, that we are ready. But the prayers of a sinner, it's a wasted prayer. Good practice, but it's a wasted prayer. We find in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, once again, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. Will not hear. He didn't say he couldn't. He can hear all things. And what he's waiting on those few words. Lord, I have sinned. I repent of my sins. I'm confessing to you what I've done. That's what he's waiting on. However you want to say it. He's waiting on that moment in order for him to be pleasing with you, in order for him to grant you your repentance. I've been waiting on you to do it for a long time now. Everything that you've been asking for, I'm ready to give it to you. Waiting on you to give it to me. I remember my friend put my name in the hat on Sears Friends and Family Day, and there was this big tool set that I won. I kept that tool set for about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, however long it was. I kept that thing. I said, this is going to my oldest son, Timothy. This is his tool set. And I told Anita, I said, when he get his life together, I'm going to give it to him. I got tired of waiting. I said, here, Tim, here's this tool set. I think I gave it to him 2 years ago. I kept that thing in my office in Texas. I brought it all the way to Kentucky, and it stayed in the garage for a while. And I finally... Here, Tim, here's the tool set. You know, God is not like that. I just want you to know right now. He's not going to get tired of waiting. He's long-suffering. He wants us to get our lives in order. And when we do so, he's going to give us the desires of our hearts. But a sinner's prayer is a wasted prayer unless, again, we are asking him to forgive us. Are we willing to do that? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but his ears, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He's far from the wicked. What? How did he become so far from the wicked? Because as we sin, we drift further and further away from him. And as we drift further and further away from him, he is not hearing our prayers. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. His children, he hears their prayers. Your child is out playing with another group of children and someone gets hurt on the playground and you hear this child crying and your ears pucker up and you listen and you say, no, that's not my child, and you get going back doing what you were doing. But when it's your child, you go to their aid. See, that's our God. He hears the prayers of the righteous. How can we become righteous? How can we stand before God and expect God to hear our prayers? By doing what he tells us to do. By looking in the Word and understanding that my prayer is not wasted because I'm living for him. I have done what he expects me to do. And when I fall short, I understand I need to confess my sins unto him. I need to repent and I need to move forward. Not focusing on the things in which I've done in the past, but focusing on what God wants us to do in the present. Wasted prayer when uttered, when it's without effort. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, as we look at, you know, the model prayer, you know, we look at what God wants us to do, and we think about all the things in which we are focusing on when we do those things, and we put some type of interest in what we're going to pray to God for. And what we say, oh, no, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about this right here. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. What has God given to us? What has He given to us? He gives us all the things in which we need. Not our wants, but He gives to us the things in which we need. The Bible says in James 1:6, but let him ask in faith. In faith. What does that mean? Without doubting. You know, we can't put a limit on what God can do for us. So therefore, we ask Him, you know, with faith that when I ask this from God, He's going to answer me. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Not one thing. Oh yeah, you're going to get the rain. You're going to get the sunshine. Everybody's going to get that. But when you're asking God and you're doubting, you can forget about it. You can forget about it. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. When we don't do what God tells us to do, when we steady call upon the name of the Lord, when we are away from Him, but yet we're still calling upon Him, you know, He's my God. That's my Jesus. He's going to help me. When is He going to help you? What does the Bible say? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say? So if you're away from Him, why call upon Him? You know, we wait till we get in trouble, then we call upon Him. But yet, we've gotten ourselves in so much trouble, we forget that when I get ready to call upon Him, I need to repent of my sins and then call upon Him. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. I know I've been away from You for a while. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. I know I've been out there in the world. I've been doing things that I should not do. Forgive me, Lord. I'm ready to move forward with my life. And as I'm moving forward, Lord, I have a need. Lord, my family is not how it needs to be. And I'm asking You, Lord, to fix it. And you know where the fixing is going to start. The fixing is going to start with self. When fathers are not being fathers, when husbands are not being husbands, when mothers are not being mothers, or wives are not being wives, or children are not being children in the way the Lord wants them to be, it starts with that individual. So yes, we ask for forgiveness, and then we ask God to help us, and we need to understand that we go back to the Scriptures and we find out what we need to do. Again, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say? Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, when many times when we pray to God, we forget that somebody, somewhere, has something against us. They have come to us and asked us for forgiveness, but yet we refuse to forgive them. You're wasting your prayer. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Are you willing today to forgive someone? Are you willing today to listen to them, hear them out? Accept their apology, accept their asking for forgiveness, or accepting their confession of the sin in which they have committed to you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing? God is willing. He has forgiven us of sins in which we're committed. Are we willing to forgive the next man of a sin in which he has committed against us? When he comes to us. See, a lot of times we get want to forgive people, but yet that person has to come to us, or we go to that person and they have to ask for forgiveness, and then we forgive them. See, a lot of times we want to do things that God does not do. But yet when God forgives us, we need to be willing to forgive men when they come to us and ask us to forgive them. And then we go back to Matthew chapter 18, Luke chapter 18 once again. When a prayer is offered by a self-righteous person, God is not hearing their prayers. He's turned a deaf ear. He sees everything. You know how we say it when someone comes to us and we ain't seen this person in a while and we know when they come toward us what they want, what they're going to ask for, and we say to ourselves, here they come again. Think about God for a moment. As you think about God, think about Job. How God looked down and he saw Job there, and here the angels are coming before God, the sons of men coming before God, and along comes Satan. And the question is asked unto Satan, where have you been? He said, to and fro, seeking who I may devour. And God says, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil? Have you considered him? You know what that tells me about Job? That Job's prayers were being heard by God. That Job's prayers were being answered by God. And we can find out as we look through the book of Job how God heard the prayers of Job and how he answered the prayers of Job, because the Bible tells us that the latter part of his life was greater than the first part. A righteous man, a good man. But now can you imagine when you come before God and God says, oh, here he comes again. When is he going to ever learn that in order for me to forgive him, he has to forgive them? In order for me to answer his prayer, he's going to have to ask me to forgive him of the sins in which he's committed. It's been pointed out to him from time and time again. When is he going to listen to what he needs to do? When? So the prayer that is uttered by a self-righteous person is a wasted prayer. How many prayers have you wasted? How many days have you wasted? How many months have you wasted? How many years have you wasted praying to God, but yet your prayer, as the old saying goes, haven't gone any higher than the ceiling. The ceiling here is higher than the ceiling at your home, but still, it's a wasted prayer. Wasted prayer. Good practice, but a wasted prayer. So let's get our lives in order. Let's get our lives in order. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we're inquiring this evening, why not? Why have you not put Christ on through baptism? The Bible says that if so many of us has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Are you willing to put him on this evening? Are you willing to rise out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life? Are you willing? In order for your prayers to be heard, you need to become a child of God. Well, maybe you're here and you've been separated away from him. Maybe, you know, you've committed a sin. And you know that this sin is something that God is displeased with, which is all sin, is displeasing to God. Why are you holding on to it? Maybe you're not doing it anymore, but yet you still haven't asked for forgiveness. See, the man that commits a murder, there's no statute limitations on murder. You know, if you murder someone today, 7 years down the road, that does not wipe that murder clean. If you have not gotten caught and you get caught on that eighth year, guess what? You're still going to jail. But you know what? God can forgive you for that murder. You're still going to have to do the time, but God can forgive you for that murder. You haven't murdered anybody else, but that doesn't wipe that murder away. You have to ask God to forgive you. And then still, you need to do your time. You need to do your time. Are you willing this evening to say that, yes, Lord, I'm not doing those things any longer. I'm asking you to forgive me for those things. I'm confessing these things before you. Are you willing to do that this evening? If you're not a child of God, again, we want you to become one. We want you to put Christ on. If you're away from God, again, we want you to come back to him, so that your prayers may be heard. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.